In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. When I was the kids' age, right, there was a TV show on PBS called Reading Rainbow with LeVar Burton, and he'd take all these kids' books and he'd read them, and we'd go on this big magical mystery ride of the story, and it was fantastic, and it was always kind of interesting when he'd pick a book that happened to be on our bookshelf at home, because it was like, oh, if we read the book, we can take the trip too. We're starting a sermon series on spiritual disciplines and why they are important and why we do them, and giving a couple of examples of what we can do as a spiritual discipline. And the first one is to read Scripture. There are a number of reasons why this is important. There are a number of reasons why reading Scripture is something we should do daily, and I will be the first to admit that I usually don't. But I'm going to try to be better. So, first of all, is the truth that anyone can make the Bible say anything they want it to. Try that again. Anyone can make the Bible say anything they want it to. You can take any verse out of context and use it for any argument you think you might have. The way to avoid that is to read your Bible and understand the context that the stories are in. The way to do that is to do daily Bible reading and to go to Christian education events and to do Bible study. There is plenty of misquoting and misunderstanding of the Bible because we either take quotes out of context or we don't understand why that part of the Bible was written and who it was originally written to. Understanding that there are different kinds of literature in this one book. To know what the Bible says and to understand what the Bible means by it and what the original story and purpose was, you actually have to open it. And so it is through opening your Bible that you can unlock the message that God has for you. You can open what it means for us today. And when you come to church, you then have a hunger for it. It's like the best piece of candy, and you're only allowed to have half of a piece. You want more. And that's what being connected to God is like, at least in my experience. And working toward strengthening those connections. It's like, I want more. I'm not satisfied with just the little nibbly bits. I want to know God more. I want to be in a deeper relationship with Him. So, we remember, and it's appropriate for World Communion Sunday, we remember that reading Scripture is one of those things that ties us across the board. This Bible, available in all of the multitude of translations that it is available in, is the same Bible read by my brothers and sisters in Scotland and my brothers and sisters in California, and for that matter, your brothers and sisters in Russia. It's the same Scriptures. What's different is how we approach understanding it and what we believe about the historicity, the historical value of this book. The Presbyterian Church stands on the form that this is where we go first. Then we go to the confessions of the church, and then we go to the Book of Order, which are all those lovely man-made laws about how we do things as the church. But this is where we go first. And while we do not believe that God himself sat there and wrote pen to paper every word in this book, we do believe that it is inspired and authoritative. This book has deep meaning. So, we know that we can pick this up. We know that we can read it. We know that we can study it. We know that we can find one of those hundreds of reading guides that are available online for how to read through Job in 10 days, or how to read through the entire Bible in 365, or read through the Psalms over Lent, or whatever it is. We know that we can do that. We know that we have that ability. We know that it's okay as far as the church is concerned. But the question is, why? And the question is, how? So why do we do it? Well, for starters, this is the closest thing we have to telling us exactly how Jesus lived. This is the closest thing we have to telling us how the forefathers of the church in Genesis and Exodus went about, and the history of how we ended up where Jesus was and how we've come the 2,000 years since then. Is it scientifically proven? No. It was bad science when they wrote it. Thinking creation story here. For that matter, in Genesis, there are two creation stories. Why? Because it was oral tradition. Because they passed it down, and then finally somebody decided to write it down. This is where we meet Jesus. This is where we understand why God calls us to be his disciples. This is how we understand God truly loves us and has loved us since the beginning of time. This is where we get the inspiration. This is where we find out about the Holy Spirit. Because we can turn back to this, we constantly have a way to go back and say, this is how they did it back then. There's a message in there for me today. If God could work like that in their lives, why wouldn't he work that way in mine? So that's the why. The how is this. Pick it up and read it. I am not one to use Wikipedia as your go-to for all the news, but for historical information about who was Nehemiah, nobody is messing with that Wikipedia page. You can go read it. It's pretty sound. I know this because they said, you don't go try to read Encyclopedia Britannica. Just go to Wikipedia. Seminary professors told me that. When you want to know who Nehemiah was, or you want to know who Ezekiel was, or you're like, well, who was Rahab? Go look at it. You're reading along and you come along somebody or something that you don't know. Google search it. Write it down and email it to me. I might not know the answer off the top of my head, but I've got a whole lot of books in my office collecting dust that you're more than welcome to come look at, or I'll look through and say, oh, this is what you want to read. Find one of those fun, read through the Bible in such and such. If you want to get through and you want to say, I'm going to make it a discipline that I'm going to spend 15 minutes a day reading scripture, get one of those reading plans and say which part of scripture you want to read through. You want to read through Psalms? There's the one for Psalms. They have journaling Bibles. This is fun. This is a whole different thing. It's your standard Bible in whichever translation. I think there's one in the New International Version and the New Revised Standard, and there may even be one in the Common English. But they have really wide margins so that you can doodle and make notes, because they've proven that some people study better and retain more information when they're writing or doing artwork. Just do it. And if you need an accountability partner, find somebody to read scripture with you and then get together for coffee afterward and discuss it. Because remember, for where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. Regular scripture reading is one of those things that helps open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to where the Spirit is leading. Because if we can read this and we can figure out and remember where people were going in here, then it makes it that much easier, at least as far as where I'm standing, it makes it that much easier to find that path in your own life and to find where your story and God's story run together and to find where God is in your own story. It's October, and I know it's the last thing you want to do is add one more thing to your calendar. I understand that. Trust me, I know. But if you start reading scripture, daily, weekly, whatever it is, and you maybe think about doing some of these other spiritual disciplines we're going to talk about the next few weeks, I'm willing to guess that when Thanksgiving rolls around, you will have adopted an attitude of gratitude. That you will be so thankful for the movement of God in your life that it will be easier to sit around that Thanksgiving table and truly give thanks. On this World Communion Sunday, I invite you to pray for our neighbors and friends, our brothers and sisters around this world. Because not everybody who proclaims the name of Jesus Christ does so freely. Not everybody has the freedom to read their Bible like we do. Not everybody has the ability to own the fact that they are Christians like we can. We have been given, yes, a gift, but also great, great privilege as far as our Christian identity as Christian Americans. Don't squander that. Use that power for good, not evil. Use that ability to not only spread the gospel of the Lord through your actions and your words, but also to work toward having a better relationship with Him who saved us. I know you can do it. And more than that, I'm asking you to hold me accountable. Amen.